Tonight's lesson is meant to be just one of encouragement to you. Yeah, it's going to be incredibly simple. I hope it's so very simple that a blind man could see it in a snowstorm. I mean, I just want it to be very, very easy to understand. I think we live in a world where, especially right now, it seems that we don't have a lot of people who are very thankful for things and that things are taken for granted. We seem to live in a world that is very much has an entitlement type of mentality to it. And we as Christians are called upon to be different people. That our thankfulness is more than just the idea of saying thank you. We sang the song just a second ago about thankfully praising our God and being grateful to our God. Somebody does something for us that's very polite and we say thank you or I appreciate that and it's a passing moment. But thankfulness to the Christian is a lifestyle that we live lives that are thankful because we appreciate what it is that God truly has done for us. And when you weigh what God has done for us against everything else that the world throws our way and the things which Satan himself even bombards us with, we have much to be thankful for. If you go to Hebrews 12 for just a moment, Hebrews chapter 12, if I were to say to you, Abraham, Isaac, Esau, that doesn't fit, does it? We always say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We never say Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. You ever thought about why that is? In Hebrews 12, Esau is given a part of the scriptures here that is not very flattering. In Hebrews chapter 12 and starting at verse 12, it says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And this is what's key to that. "Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God." The grace of God, even, a person can fall short of. And so therefore we should be about strengthening and making straight paths and pursuing peace and looking carefully, lest that should happen, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Let me ask you, you think Esau was somebody who appreciated his birthright? Who, if he had received the birthright that was supposed to be his, that maybe he would have said, "Thank you, Father, for that"? But he didn't live like somebody who appreciated what was supposed to be his. What it was that his father had laid up for him to be rightfully his. And he didn't appreciate it. And he was a profane person as a result. Now, we can understand that he did see that there was some value that was attached to it. In the next verse, it says in verse 17, "For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." We don't say Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. And the reason being is because Esau does not seem to be the kind of person that was thankful for what it was that his father had laid up for him. So when we go to Luke chapter 17, I think there's a similar attitude that might be there in these people that are talked about. Go back to Luke 17 again. Luke 17 is that well-known account where you have the 10 lepers who cry out to Jesus and they want mercy. They want to be healed. Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And on the way, the leprosy leaves them and they are cured from this leprosy. Now, I think any of us would understand that that's a group of people that would be very, very thankful for what had just happened to them. And yet, the only one that came back to express gratitude was this one Samaritan. Unlike some of the other things that happened in the life of Jesus, Jesus was not here telling a parable and included a Samaritan. This was something that was a real life event where a Samaritan was the only one who came back to offer thanks and to glorify God. And truthfully, the real expression of our gratitude is our recognition and our worship of God. Can we recognize that it came from God? Because that is the true measure of how thankful and truly how much gratitude that we have. And so it's along those lines that I want us to talk tonight, because that is the question that Jesus asked, is where are the nine? Where are the others? They all had this horrible disease. They all believed, it seemed, that Jesus was the only one who could heal them. Jesus grants their request, and they are healed. So where are the nine? Why did they not come back? And it takes a story that should be so very, very touching and beautiful and makes it one where you ask that question, why didn't they go back and thank Jesus? Was it because they were so excited? Was it because they really didn't care? Well, anybody could have done that. Did they chalk it up to just time and chance, that it was just circumstance? Well, it just happened that it was coincidental that Jesus said this, and all of a sudden the leprosy was healed, and they didn't make the correlation. And I think we do a very similar thing in our own lives. Sometimes we get so overcome, I think, with the blessings that we forget to stop and to think really who should be thanked for that. I know that when the kids were real small, one of the things that we really tried to do a lot and was something that was meaningful to us at the time was we'd come out of the grocery store. And you got a basket full of groceries that you're loading into the automobile with your kids there. And we'd say a prayer and we'd thank God for that. I think as time went on, it probably got a little bit easier to get the groceries. And it wasn't as hard as it was back then. And it wasn't that we weren't thankful, but probably didn't stop to truly give thanks to who thanks should have been given at that time. Because after all, we had worked for it. We had come a long way. We were in a place now in our lives where it wasn't as hard and difficult, and it wasn't as overwhelming. It became sort of an ordinary thing. And maybe we just didn't stop to think about it. As Christians, brethren, we have so much to be thankful for. We are blessed so beyond belief. Even tonight when we gather to get together and you start thinking about just the way in which there was so much noise and activity that was going on, and you see the way that brethren are just looking forward to being with one another, and the conversation and the laughter and the hugging and all the attention that is given to each person. You come in and you hear the sounds of real young kids singing these songs that help them memorize things from the Bible. You see other brethren that you know who have been through hardships and difficulties, and they have smiles on their face because they know that this is a place where there's safety and comfort and support. That you have, as our brother tonight, Billy, when he reminded us to let the burdens of everything out there in the world be washed away by what this moment is all about and truly praising our God. We have young men like Nathan who get up and lead a prayer about thanking God and really understanding that these things come from Him. You know, a young man who a couple times a year will get brethren together just to have a good time with each other and not maybe realize how much that really does mean to a lot of people. I mean, there is so much that we as brethren have to be thankful for. We have knelt in prayer to our God repeatedly, over and over and over again, about several different circumstances and situations and problems and difficulties and issues and things that we are facing. And we know that there are some things where it's just going to have to be that way because it is life that we're talking about. But knowing that God answers that prayer and that the God of heaven listens to me, He listens to you. And when we bow in our prayers to our God together, that God bends His ear toward us and listens. We cry out to our God, our Savior, and say, Lord, hear us. And He does the same as Jesus did with these lepers. We go to Him with our problems, our cares, and concerns, and many times Jesus does wash them away by whatever means that may be, whether it be time and chance, or whether it be by providence, or whether it be through wisdom of man, whatever that circumstance may be. And maybe we forget to take the time to just say to God, God, thank you. I asked this, for this in my prayer, and it was granted. God, thank you for that. Maybe sometimes we do get so overcome with our blessings that we forget how important it is to say to our God, thank you for what was given. If you go to verses 15 and 16 of that account, notice what it said. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Notice that. He glorified God. In verse 16, he fell down on his face, giving him thanks at the feet of Jesus. That is the real test. The real test of gratitude is whether or not we glorify God for what we have received. Because as we'll see even later in the lesson, it is true that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so anything that you have in your life that's a blessing, that is something that God has given you. So count your many blessings, as we sang a moment ago. Name them one by one. Would we ever get up from our knees? That's what our life is supposed to be about, in showing that gratitude and that appreciation for what God has done. And so that's one of the questions I want you to think about as we go through the lesson. Do you open your mouths to give thanks to God? And glorifying God Do you ever say, praise God? And if a person were to do that, would it make you feel uncomfortable? God bless your name. And would it make you feel uncomfortable in doing so? I hate to say that, me, it would. It would make me feel uncomfortable. Because it's not something I'm used to hearing, something I'm used to saying, except on my own private prayers. And it probably shouldn't be that way. We should be able to praise our God in more than just our singing, but be able to bless the name of our Lord and to give Him thanks for all that He has done. The other thing that I want you to think about is, does our life truly reflect that gratitude for our Savior? As this leper did. He had an incurable disease. It was a terminal illness, and yet he was relieved from that. And God, through Jesus Christ, has relieved the greatest burden from mankind, and that is the punishment for our sins. And we should be thankful for that. And before we go any further, let's clear something up, is that it is indeed a sin to be ungrateful. If you go with me to Romans chapter 1, Romans 1 and notice verse 21. Romans 1, 21. You remember as Paul is beginning this letter, he talks about faith and how important faith is. He talks about the gospel. But then from there, he starts talking about the downward spiral of mankind. And in verse 21, as he's introducing this subject, he talks about what is really at the heart of all this when he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Praising God, glorifying God, recognizing God for who He is a necessary ingredient for gratitude. It is one thing to say thank you for something. It is another thing to be grateful for something. The life that we live, a life that glorifies and honors and magnifies and worships the God of heaven, is the life that is truly grateful for what God has done. But because these people were no longer thankful, they were not grateful for what God has done, you can see how they became futile in their thoughts. And they began to chase after, as Sean talked about this morning, chasing after other gods who would give them things that they wanted because they did not appreciate what it was that God had done for them. Other passages of Scripture, such as 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice verses 2 through 4. Here Paul says, for men will be lovers of themselves. Note that. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, notice that again, rather than lovers of God. This passage of Scripture is bookended by people that are focused upon themselves. They love themselves, in verse 2, and they're lovers of pleasure. And that's all about self. And a person who has that type of attitude that is always focused upon themselves is the kind of person that has this well of sins that starts gushing forth from their lives, among which is being unthankful. And think about how telling that is. If a person is constantly patting himself on the back for what he has done, for what he has accomplished, and he's always thinking about the pleasures that he wants to enjoy, that they want to participate in, and are never thinking about what it might be to actually go through some suffering or something like that, that's not the person that's going to appreciate what it is that God has to do for him, because there's nothing God can do for him. The person is so lifted up with pride that what can God give me? I've been taking care of myself. I don't need God. I've got a job, I've got a home, I've got a car, I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got all these things around me. I'm able to do what it is that I want to do. What do I need God for? I go through hardships and difficulties like everybody else, but I come through it a lot stronger than Christians that I've seen. What do I need God for? And so when a person is lifted up with that type of pride and arrogance, that is really what is at the heart of not being thankful. And when we don't have gratitude. And sometimes we forget just how deadly pride is and where it can sneak in and take advantage of us as Christians if we're not careful. It comes from a heart that's wrong. It comes from pride because we think too highly of ourselves than we ought to do. And so one of the things that sin of ingratitude comes from, it is caused by pride. And I really think our pride could be measured by our lack of thankfulness. We all know people, and maybe we've been this way in the past, but we know people who are not very grateful for what they have. They're not grateful for what is done for them. They're not grateful when something is given to them. They're not grateful for circumstances or situations. And that's probably a pretty good measure of how prideful that person is. Because we get so arrogant that I don't have to thank God. God didn't do any of this. I did this. I made this. I built this. And I did it without God. So I think ungratefulness, that sin of ingratitude, does stem from pride. I think another place where it comes from is it's caused by a selfish entitlement type of perspective. And as I said at the beginning, this seems to be something that is growing more and more prevalent in our society. Brethren, we live in a society that we are taught that we are to measure ourselves by what we see in others. And that I need to, and actually I am entitled to more than what you have. And we live in a society that's becoming increasingly violent and increasingly without hope and sense of direction because of an entitlement type of mentality. We grow up in a society where people think that they are owed something from others. And no one has ever took them aside when they were a child and said, "No one owes you anything." And so when they think about God and all it is that God can do, they also think of everything that God, in their opinion, should do. And that God actually owes them. God wants me to be happy. He owes me happiness. And so God does not have the right to demand of me anything that's not going to give me happiness. God, you owe me comfort. God, you owe me peace. God, you owe me all these things. And God owes us nothing. But because we have this entitlement type of mentality and this perception that God does owe me something, when I don't get what it is that I want, I'm not going to thank Him. And then when I do get those things that maybe even I prayed for, why should I thank God? Because He owed it to me anyway. So what has He really done? How has He really blessed my life? It is a disease, brethren, that's spreading. It's one that we need to be careful that in our own homes, with ourselves and with our children, it's not something that they're growing up in the midst of. We are not entitled. And God does not owe us anything. It's because God's love for us that He does for us. And it's because of God's love for all of mankind that He causes the sun to shine on those who are good and those who are evil alike. It's because of His love and His gratitude and His mercy that He does that very thing. Also, I think it is caused by a lack of love and respect for God. A person's not going to be thankful to God when he doesn't love Him and when he doesn't respect Him. And how I think this is tied in is that love is truly what respect and value are about. That when you see people who have a hard time showing respect for others and recognizing the value for other people, that is an evidence that that person does not understand what biblical love really is. And when a person cannot look to the God of heaven and realize the kind of sacrifice that God has made on our behalf, and they don't have a affection, they don't value God, they're not going to be thankful for Him. We love and appreciate the things that we place value on. And so when we are not grateful to our God, when people are not thankful for what God has done, and when people will not show that with both their words and their actions, their manner of life, it is evidence that they don't value, appreciate, and don't love who God is. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John tells us that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. He tells us these things. But all these things, I think, are tied into our gratefulness as well. I think also another thing is our lack of faith and hope. It causes us to not be grateful to God. You know, Sean mentioned this morning about the Israelites not going in because of a lack of faith. You think they appreciated that God brought them to that point? If they did, they should have had a funny way of showing it. Why did you bring us out here to die? Wish we could go back to Egypt where at least we had onions to eat. Doubt breeds ingratitude. Doubt breeds ingratitude. I pray to God, "God, hear my cry. Lord, this is heavy on my heart, and you know that. And I pray, begging the God of heaven to heed my cry. But then in the back of my mind saying, well, no, it's all in the hands of, or it's all dependent upon, or he's not, this is just to get my mind satisfied. It's not really that God's going to do anything. Doubt breeds ingratitude. If I can't pray with confidence, why am I praying? And if I'm not praying that I know that God will hear and that God will respond, why am I praying? And we say it repeatedly. And if I don't have faith that God is going to answer according to what is fitting and what is best and what is in the best interest for me and what is in God's will to answer that prayer and that His way is right, whether I get what I want or not, but that His way is right, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If I cannot pray with that kind of faith, I'm not going to be thankful. Yeah, God, thank you for listening to my prayer, but I know I'm just going to have to do this all on my own. That kind of doubt does not breed the kind of gratitude that we as Christians are supposed to have. If I don't trust Him, I won't be faithful. Another thing I think is caused by is neglect and thoughtlessness. I think a lot of times we're just unthankful because we just don't think about where our blessings come from. We just don't take the time to purposefully set our minds to be thinking about it. One thing I am thankful for, and obviously the reason I'm giving this lesson tonight is because this is the week that we celebrate Thanksgiving. And I do appreciate the times of the year where we have different holidays and different seasons because it gives us an excuse to really sit and focus about something for just a moment that maybe we wouldn't. And this week is going to be a week where a lot of people are going to be eating and watching ball games, doing a lot of different things. But it is supposed to be a week where we as a nation say, God, yes, as a nation, we are to say, God, thank you. And even that scares me because it says the prayers of the unrighteous are an abomination to God. And it scares me that many people may be addressing our God from a mouth that's an abomination to our Lord. But how much worse when we as Christians, as children of God, can't truly express our gratitude toward our Savior. And it does become for us nothing more than that. What we as Christians are supposed to do is to be setting our minds to be thinking about these things. When is the last time that you've just sat and just said, I'm going to number as many things as I can that God has blessed me with? When was the last time in my prayer I just bowed my head to my God and all I did was to praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him for what He has done in my life without asking Him for anything else and just praising God in prayer? But we as Christians ought to be able to do that because that's what gratitude is about. But the Bible does describe being ungrateful as being a sin. And it is something that can creep in very easy if we're not careful. And as I said before, children of God have a lot to be thankful for. Notice in Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Here the psalmist says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. That whole psalm is a psalm of praise and adoration. It's one where it talks about enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving. It's a wonderful thing when we come together and we start talking about the way in which the excitement that is there when we are together and we're able to speak to one another and spend this time in fellowship with one another as we worship our God together. Let us also be thinking as we approach the hour of worship and approach the time of coming together that I'm coming together with Him with thanksgiving. Services are not meant to be a time where we have to always grip the back of the pew and just hang on for dear life and hopefully make it through without going home feeling horrible about ourselves. It is to be a time that we can enter into with thanksgiving. It's not to be an arduous time where it's just one of those things that we have to do and it's something that I really don't want to have to do, but I know I have to do it. And I just got to make it through. And if I can just stay awake for 45 minutes through the service, then I'll be okay. That's not what it's... Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His presence with the praise of our lips, glorifying our God. That's who we are. That's who we should be known as. In Psalm 107, verse 22, it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. You know, the offerings that they would give in the Old Testament were an extension of their gratefulness, if you think about it. Notice, think about the Passover feast, for example. God had led the Israelites out of Egypt. But while they were still in Egypt, there were all these plagues that came upon Pharaoh and the nation to show that the God of the Hebrews, the true God of heaven, he was God. And so he attacked all the different gods of the Egyptians through all these different plagues. And at the very end, when the firstborn were going to be destroyed, they were to take this Passover lamb and to put the blood on the doorposts of the home, and the death would not touch their home of their firstborn. And so as they sacrificed this Passover lamb throughout their generations, that was an extension of the thankfulness, should have been an extension of their thankfulness, their gratitude for what God had done for them. In much the same way when we observe the Lord's Supper, that is an extension, that is our sacrifice, that is that lamb again that we were thinking about that was sacrificed that we might not suffer that second death. And so as we take the Lord's Supper, do we ever think about that thankfulness, that gratitude that should be there? And do we think about it actually being the sacrifice of our praise and our adoration? Enter into his gates with that thanksgiving as we saw a moment ago, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Let me ask you, what do you have to be thankful for? What do you have to be thankful for? I've heard a lot of people say, what do I have to be thankful for? But what do you have to be thankful for? Do we truly honor and respect the Lord for all that he's done? And does that motivate us to offer sacrifice? Philippians 4 is another passage that we know so well. Here Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Notice what he says at the beginning. Rejoice always, constantly, continually, never endingly, in whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever it is that you're going through. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he says, rejoice. And then as he develops that thought even further, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, brethren, thankfulness is not dependent upon your happiness. But the thankful heart will be happy. Think about it for just a moment when you look at that verse. Many people think this way, that if I have peace of mind, then I can be happy. And if I'm happy, then I won't be anxious. And if I'm not anxious, then I can be thankful. When the way that this verse talks about it is, don't be anxious. Go to God in prayer. Be thankful. And then God will give you peace of mind. Not the other way around. Our happiness, our contentment, our thankfulness and gratitude is not dependent on our circumstances. We look beyond our circumstances. We look beyond our situations to the God who is the provider of peace. And when I go to my God, who is the God of peace, who I know will guard my heart and mind, I do so with thanksgiving, knowing that what he is going to give me is just what he said in this passage, peace. He will guard my heart and my mind. So what am I going to God for in my supplications and in my prayers? I have no reason to be anxious. I have no reason to be unhappy. I have no reason to be anything other than thankful. Because God, I know you will guard my heart. You will guard my mind. Lord, you know what it is that I'm going through. You know what we are going through. You know how hard and difficult this is. You lived in the flesh and showed me that you know exactly what I'm going through. You suffered and were tempted and tried the same way that I am, Father. You know exactly what I'm going through. And I will not be anxious because you have promised. And Lord, I trust you to guard me in this time. Thank you for that. That is the prayer of a saint. That is the prayer that Paul is talking about offering up to him. That attitude of gratitude that you hear so many times. Gratitude to God, someone once said. Gratitude to God should be as regular as our heartbeat. And I love that quote. Gratitude to God should be as regular as our heartbeat. That's how naturally it should come and flow from our lips. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Here Paul says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Notice that here the idea of gratitude is also linked to the idea of being rooted and grounded and built up and walking. A person who is not rooted and grounded, a person who is not steady and steadfast, a person who is not being edified or being built up, and a person who is not doing the will of God is not going to be thankful. It's amazing to me how many people talk about how grateful they are to God while they're being disobedient to Him, while they're disobeying Him. How do you think God views that? This is how you tell me thank you? There was an incident that happened in World War II where this sergeant was out there on the front lines. He had gotten wounded. And the lieutenant that was in charge of that regiment, he went out there and he grabbed the sergeant, started bringing him to safety. And in the process, he was shot and was killed. But the sergeant lived. Several years later, the family members, the parents of that lieutenant, wanted to meet this sergeant that their son had saved in that battle. When the man showed up, he was late, slovenly, and drunk. And they said it was depressing to know that their son had died for someone like that. Now you take that to the idea of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and that we can't be bothered to simply obey, and to know that His Son died for someone like that. And so when the Bible describes us in Romans 5 as being the enemies of God, and that's when Jesus died for us, it's not exaggerating, because Jesus did die for us all. But that is where gratitude stems from. In Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word and in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." 3 points I want to make from this passage. First, we are the ones who make a conscious effort to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. The only reason we don't have the peace of God ruling in our hearts is because we don't choose to allow that. And so if I don't enjoy that at this particular moment of time, the reason being is because I am not allowing it. There's something that's in the way. And the thing that might be in the way is the second point. A grateful heart will be a singing heart. If we find it difficult to sing praises to our God, to express the graciousness that is in our hearts through our songs of praise and adoration and thankfulness to our God, that might be why I don't have that peace of God ruling in my heart. And thirdly, as it says at the end, all that you do in word or deed, we as Christians are the kinds of people who submit to the authority of God gratefully, thankfully, joyously. It's not a thing that's a burdensome thing where we say, you know what, I just got to do. I would rather worship God a different way. I would rather, you know, that we participate in the same things that the world around us is doing. But I have to obey. I just have to do what God says. Let's know who we're supposed to be. We submit to it joyfully and with gratitude, knowing that the grace of God and His authority guide us. Notice also Hebrews 13 and verse 14. It says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We often quote verse 15 about offering that sacrifice of the praise of our lips to God, and how it is indeed a sacrifice, much like the Old Testament sacrifices were, that are offered up to God. But notice what it says right before that. Here we have no continuing city. It is in that context that we are offering up that sacrifice of praise of our lips. What that tells us is that the pilgrim's attitude is that there is much more for us than what this world has to offer. And so we are continually, as we're going through this pilgrimage, as we're marching through foreign lands on our way to our home country, we do so with the banner of God unfurled and flying high above us as we fight the battles as they come, that we encourage and uplift one another, and that we march steadfastly onward toward that goal of being in heaven itself. And we are continually offering the sacrifice of the praise of our lips to our God, because He is our banner. He is our God and our Savior. That's what thankfulness and gratitude is supposed to spur on in this. So what are we thankful for? Think about this for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, starting at verse 3, if you turn that with me. Ephesians 1 and starting at verse 3. As we read through these verses, we'll stop every now and then. But as I read these verses, I want you to think about, what should you be thankful for? What should you be thankful for? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What should you be thankful for? Just as He chose us in Him, what should you be thankful for? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, what should you be thankful for? Having predestined us to adoption as sons, what should you be thankful for? By Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Again, what should you be grateful for? In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the disposition of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Brethren, what should we be thankful for? Could we not spend an entire week in just those things that are mentioned in just those few verses? God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing. What is God withholding from you then? Why do you not understand? And why do you not recognize? And why do you feel wanting and inadequate? God has said, I will give you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be thankful. He wants you to live a life of gratitude and appreciation, because Jesus Christ died to give you that. To give you that. By name, to give you that. And that's who we should be, is people who recognize it. Because no matter what the situation is, God always gives us a reason to be thankful. I think we should be thankful for our family and our friends and faithful brethren, because we are surrounded by so many who love us and care for us. It's an amazing thing that often in talking to someone who may be going through a hardship and a difficulty, and you feel bad for that person and you sympathize with what they're going through and you want to help them and what they're going through. But it is an incredibly comforting thing to be able to say to somebody, you know what, you have a lot of people around you who love you and who care for you, who love God, and can provide you with hope and comfort and peace. Brethren, we have a lot more than just a handful of people like that. We have more than a couple of handfuls. Some of us are more than a handful, but we have a lot of people that we can lean on. There is virtually no end of the people that if I was in some kind of bad situation that I know I could call and lean on. Brethren, we are blessed. There's a lot of people who don't have that and don't enjoy that. When you meet somebody in the world and you're thinking about some of the things that you ought to say to them and to help them understand the beauty of being a Christian, let your gratitude for being a Christian show forth. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people sit in hospital rooms with a loved one who's dying of some horrible disease, and they can't even pray to the God of heaven with confidence that He hears. I don't know how people do that. I don't know how people walk away from God and think that that's going to be the answer to their problems. I don't know how somebody can snub their nose at God and say, God, how dare you tell me I need to live a certain life? You owe me happiness and comfort and owe me the things that I want. How dare you take something away from me? I don't know how people live that kind of life. Because every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we have houses and friends and family beyond number. Closer than any family member or friend I've ever had in my life are the brethren I have in Christ Jesus. And we should be thankful and grateful for one another because of that. What about our material blessings? Has there ever been a nation on the face of the earth that's been blessed the way that we have been? I mean, I know that there's a lot of bad things that's going on. I know that there's a lot of hardships and difficulties. I know there's a lot of fear that's going on. But brethren, if you just consider the fact that we are the most blessed people that have ever existed on the face of the earth, and just be thankful for that. Parents, I would encourage you that next time you go to the grocery store and you're there with your kids, point it out to them and show them, look what God has blessed us with. Look what God gave us. And have them express that appreciation. Used to, when we do a little class with the little kids, much like this, some of the young boys would say a prayer. And it was always really funny when they would lead prayers. It was really cute because they'd say, God, thank you for the grass and the trees. And every one of them, God, thank you for the grass and the trees. Because that was what was important. Someone tonight was telling me that when they say their prayers, they got to make sure that they say, God, protect the children. And if they don't, they haven't really said their prayers yet. And it's good that our children get reminded of those things from an early age, so they understand what appreciation truly is about, and that these things come from our God. James 1, verses 2 through 6, talks about the way in which the testing of our faith produces patience. That patience is supposed to have its perfect work. If we looked at that verse many times throughout these past several weeks especially. But even in our difficulties and our struggles, we should be able to thank our God. Because God, you're allowing me to be tested and tried. And in the end, I will be stronger. And God knows that you can be. And He believes that you can be. Because no temptation is overtaking you except such as common. God provides a way of escape. And He knows that you are strong enough to face the trial that you're going through right now. God believes in you. And He is testing you because He knows you're strong enough. And He knows that this is an area where you need to be stronger. And He is there for you to help you. And that's what He's trying to do. Thank Him for that. Bless His name for that. Pray that He guards your heart and your mind as you go through that particular thing. Also, when you look in James chapter 1, and this time verse 17, it says that all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father above. There is no shadow, there is no variation of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. What blessings do you have? Thank God for them. Thank God for them. Well, yeah, but this person, this just happened. Thank God for it, because every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Directly, indirectly, however you want to talk about it, that's fine. But understand, it comes from Him. It comes from His hand. He created good, and He is good. And because of that, He is the giver of all things that are good indeed. So this is a question I want to leave with you to think about for just a moment. Where are those? Where are the nine? Where are those people who would demonstrate gratitude by their words? Where are they? Giving of thanks, singing, that they'll do it always, continually. Where are the nine? Where are those who would do that? Where are the nine? Where are those who would demonstrate gratitude by the kind of life they live? You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, about making our lives a living sacrifice. Where are those who would do that? Where are those who would demonstrate gratitude by their humble obedience to the Word of God? Just simply doing what it is that God asks of them to do. Who would demonstrate their gratitude by that? Who would demonstrate their gratitude by teaching others? You remember in Acts chapter 8 when you had the persecution coming upon the church? And those who were persecuted went everywhere preaching the word. That was some grateful brethren that were doing that. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Will we be like the Samaritan instead? That's who we're called upon to be. And so that's the question I want to leave with you is, are you thankful? Because being thankful is not dependent on how much stuff you have or the state of life that you're going through, but it is dependent upon our attitude toward God and His provisions and upon His promises. And one great promise that God has given to us is that if we obey, He will save. And so tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't yielded in obedience to Him, if you've been living a life maybe of ingratitude, and you know that now's the time to be thankful to Him once again, and you want to express that tonight, if there's some way that we can help you, whatever that may be, please let that be known. We want to help you in any way that we can. As together as we stand and sing the song, won't you please come if we can help you in any way.